Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Ruthie, how you doing?
Fine, John. And you?
I'm good. And people know who you are, but who am I?
John McEwen. You're one of the founders of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Yep, back in 1966, August 12th, around noon. Ah, the good old day. You know something, Ruthie? I'm really glad that you've asked me to be part of syndicatednews.net. It's not just an honor, it's a privilege. And I appreciate the fact that your people out there that are tuning you in might want to hear about American music. So it's really good to be getting to know your people on syndicatednews.net. And I thought maybe they'd like to get to know me. So I put together a little, what would we call this, an internet gift? Let me tell you some of my story, Ruthie. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I put this together at my house just last week. I'll send this out to anyone that's listening. Kind of an old-time radio show. And this is John McEwen. You can find me right here on syndicatednews.net. John McEwen, American Music.
For over 35 years, I've traveled the world, dragging my acoustic instruments with me, my banjo, guitar, fiddle, and mandolin. It's been a great road so far, but it just seems like it's time to tell all of you who are tuning in some of what these instruments have seen and heard. Performing both with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and on my own, these instruments have crossed many strange paths. Played over 6,000 shows, shared a lot of dressing rooms and stages with a lot of wonderful and strange performers, actors, comedians, managers, agents, and roadies. I'll be tracing some of the relationships of all these people, the music behind the scenes and in the studios, and the effects of some of their influences. Let's see, where to start? Now let's start at the beginning. The beginning of my band's career, that'd be good, around the time of our first performance review in Billboard magazine, when they said, "Doubtful if they'll ever be captured on record." In 1966, we were rehearsing at the famous Ash Grove in Hollywood, California, getting ready for our first week of real work there. We'd only been together a few months, and we'd landed the job opening for the great Merle Travis. We had a whole week that we'd get to play, Tuesday through Sunday, and only two shows a night for $600. Each of us were making $100 a week, and it seemed like a dream come true. Mid-rehearsal, in walks a moderately long-haired, inquisitive southern gentleman in a suit and tie with a curious question. "Would ye all like to record for the Liberty Record Company?" Now, he didn't know that earlier that week we'd signed with Liberty Records to make our first album, but that's just the way it was then. He'd just written a giant hit, one of his early songs, for Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Let's just tune in to what some of that time period was like as we get started here. And where radio was at. I mean, you were hearing Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Joan Baez sometimes. And then this Diamond Ring would come on. What a strange time it was back then. Well, that's 1965 rock and roll. Part of it, anyway. And the young man that wrote this song had come out from Tulsa, Oklahoma in the late 50s. He had a couple of recordings, was kind of unknown, but respected within the industry. He left our session there, our rehearsal, after listening to a few tunes, and pretty soon his solo career was going to take off. It wasn't too many years after running into him here that, well, he hadn't been so many places yet, but he was singing songs for us. And here's one of his early ones, singing this song for you.
My life and time, I've sung a lot of songs I made from bad rhymes. I've acted out my love in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you.
Oh yeah, that's Leon Russell.
And I know your image of me is what I hope to be.
I don't think he ever treated anyone unkindly. We were all looking for the same thing, trying to make what would be called old records. And the Dirt Bin, in those formative years, we'd also play a place called the Troubadour, which was kind of like the Greenwich Village of the West Coast. And we saw a guy there, Michael Nesmith. Everybody knows the answer to what did Michael Nesmith's mother invent? Well, Michael himself came up with some really good songs. I played my banjo on this one. From 1970.
Tell me just one more time the reason why you must leave. Tell me once more why you're sure you don't need me. Tell me again, but don't think you convince me.
We put this song on our fifth album called Uncle Charlie and His Dog Teddy. Jerry Jeff Walker had a song that we learned just in time to put on that album. We thought it was going to be an album cut. Didn't think it would have any success as a radio record other than maybe FM airplay. We were wrong. Maybe you remember this one.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you in worn out shoes. Hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants, the old soft shoes. Jumped so high, and then he lightly touched down.
We recorded this in 1969.
I met him in a sale in New Orleans. I was
come on, everybody, sing along.
Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Damn.
Well, thanks to a lot of people requesting this song, it got played to death on the radio and put us on the road. That was from our fifth album. And we became America's first group, the first American band to go to Russia in 1977. Let's get back to my earlier path that led me to, well, where I am today. Hey, the Dirt Band's been on the road for 40 years, and so have I. Maybe a little banjo story would be a good start. One time I was out on the road with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, hanging out at some hotel in the Midwest. We're just waiting for a show at a county fair somewhere in the middle of the boondocks. And just hanging out on a nice summer day. And the phone rings. And it was Leon on the phone. And I don't know how he found us, but it was a different time back then. harder to find people. And he was asking me if I'd ever heard of somebody, and I couldn't place the guy. And since the whole band was in the room, I turned and said, Hey, Jeff, you know who Bill Wyman is? And Jeff said, why, he's a bass player with the Stones. Why? I said, well, I just wondered. I went back to the phone and said, sure, Leon, put Bill on. I talked to him for 5 minutes or so, and I ended up a couple days later in L.A. to record on Bill Wyman's solo album, Monkey Grip. The weirdest thing about it, I mean, here, you know, I'm a banjo player, you know. And this is a Rolling Stone. I mean, what am I doing here? But Leon, when I arrived, he said, John, I'm glad you're here. I'm not used to hanging out with a bunch of stars. I'm just here to play my three licks and move on. That made me feel better. But then he said, get your banjo out. And he made me go into the control room and play a tune for Bill Wyman. I don't think it was an audition. He just wanted to hear... Here's the way I recorded it on the Uncle Charlie and His Dog Teddy album with the Dirt Band. This is Opus 36. I think it might have gotten me a job with the Rolling Stone. Well, that went well, and honestly, I played dobro and mandolin and banjo and on Wyman's album. That was a lot of fun. And the cool thing about it was Leon was in kind of a hurry to get out of there. Let's play one of the cuts from Monkey Grip. Let's play White Lightning from the Monkey Grip album by Bill Wyman.
Can't you feel it hit ya? Feel it get ya? Just a jerk, can't you feel it? Oh, white lightning sure tastes good. Knew a man lived down a hill, had a whiskey still, people from miles around, drank his whiskey down. Can't you feel it, itcha? Feel it, itcha? It's a jerk, can't you feel it, itcha? Lightning sure tastes good. Knew a man had a mule. What a stubborn fool. Put corn liquor in his feed. Fastest thing I've seen. Can't you feel it hit ya? Feel it hit ya? Just a jerk. Can't you feel it hit ya?
After the sessions, Leon, well, I figured a limo was going to pick him up or something, but he turned to me and said, hey, John, you heading into town? And I don't know if you know L.A. or not, but that's a pretty big question. I was heading over to Burbank where Arlo was recording, and I said, "Leon, do you have a limo?" He goes, "No, I figured I'd get a ride with you." And that kind of cracked me up. And he wanted to go along to see Arlo Guthrie recording, and I wanted to see what happened when those guys got in the same room together. Arlo was complaining about how John Denver had changed the words to Steve Goodman's City of New Orleans. It seems like Mr. Denver had to change old black men to old gray men to make it radio-friendly. And we'd all be proud later to be able to call John Denver a friend. And, well, Arlo had a hit with his version. And see what happens if we mix him up a little bit.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central Monday morning rail. It's 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors and 25 sacks of mail. They're out on the southbound Odyssey, and the train pulls out of Kankakee, rolling past the houses, farms, and fields, passing towns that have no name. Freight yards full of old gray men, the graveyards of rusted automobiles.
Passing trains that have no name, the freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you?
That was written by Steve Goodman.
You know
Stevie was one of the best solo acts on the road, besides being a great writer. I believe he's the only person that opened for Steve Martin that would get encores, and he did that a lot. In fact, he did over 250 shows with Steve Martin when he was out on the road. I saw him do it several times. He just got him right in the palm of his hand like he always did. And if he broke a string, it was even better, because he could do 5 minutes while he was replacing a string. He kept right on singing. Boy, he was tough to follow. He opened for the Dirt Band once in Reno. And, well, it was his songs and his attitude. Like this song that, what is that song? If Your Life Was on Videotape, you could play all... Let's hear Stevie Goodman do If Your Life Was on Videotape.
If your life was on videotape, wouldn't everything be all right? When your head hurts the morning after, and you could roll it back to late last night. You could replay all the good parts and cut out what you don't like. Oh, wouldn't you be in good shape if your life was on videotape?
Steve Goodman was the kind of man that, well, anybody that met him felt like they could call him a friend. He's just Mr. Nice Guy. And he wrote some of the coolest songs, and the Dirt Band ended up cutting some of them. One of my favorite songs that we did of his is Face on the Cutting Room Floor. This is from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. A Steve Goodman song goes like this.
Door after door after all of this time.
We had no idea in that late 60s Southern California music scene that someday we'd be recording this kind of music in the year 2002. We didn't have any idea that we were going to do anything, actually, other than we were trying to just keep from working. Maybe stay out of the draft a little bit. Pretty drafty back then. It was a different time. You didn't get together as a group and say, okay, let's make a video and get a manager and an attorney and an accountant and a record company and an agent. You just kind of tried to do it. And some of those people would come to you, like at the Troubadour. They'd show up, the Troubadour, the Ash Grove, the Ice House in Pasadena, the Golden Bear out in Huntington Beach. Boy, that was a hot time. We did a concert on a football field at a high school that had, the Jefferson Airplane, the Doors, the Birds, the Buffalo Springfield, a group called Merry-Go-Round, and the Dirt Band. And it cost, $5 or $6 to get in. Birmingham High School. Rock out. I remember that night I was most excited about getting the show over with so I could go see Bill Monroe at the Ash Grove. But as the band moved along, some people started coming to us with songs, and one of the young men that showed up at about 17 years old, he'd been living in his Jeep out in the desert, and, hey, would you guys want to do some of my songs? I had him come up to my house. I was living in Laurel Canyon. Now, Laurel Canyon, it was just like some of the songs. Down the street was Jimmy Messina. He was not even in Poco yet. Across the street, Scott McKenzie, Flowers in Your Hair. Next door was Ian Whitcomb. Down the street a little further on the right was the Mamas and Papas. Steve Martin lived up at the top of the street. But this young kid came over to my house, and he'd just written a bunch of songs, and I had a stereo tape recorder. Now, you're going to have to bear with me on this, because I didn't know much about recording then, and sometimes he pops the microphone a little bit, but this is like, I'd like to call this the audio lithograph portion of the show. I'll be introducing some pieces of music that nobody's ever heard before, in the way that I recorded them from my own little private collection to try and capture those days as they were going by. But coming into the studio, into my living room in my little one-bedroom place, to lay down some songs so we could record them maybe on the next album, this young man came in, and this is the way he played it at 17 years old. I think the song was about a month old.
Okay. Haha, good. Dash A. Oh, take four. Okay.
Yeah, that's a teenage Kenny Loggins of 1968. This is before he'd had any songs recorded by anybody. We learned four songs off that living room tape I made up in Laurel Canyon of Kenny, and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band put those songs on an album called Uncle Charlie and His Dog Teddy. Thanks, Kenny, for helping us out there. You know, it was a great time back then, as it is now, and just different. And sometimes it was hard to find a way to get away. With the Vietnam War heating up like it was a tough time to be draft age. Well, there was a need to get away, and I found it at a place called the Hawk Shop on Sunset Boulevard. And the guy that ran the place was Spencer Quinn.
What?
That's him.
Okay.
I recorded this at the Hawk Shop in 1968. And Spencer was quite a guy. He used to be in the Our Gang comedies. Yeah, that was a strange claim to fame. And he drew in an even stranger group of people looking for a place to go. Not very many of them. But one of them was Paul Williams, a great songwriter. And his brother, Minter Williams. Minter is, well, I guess he's about 10 years away from writing that Give Me the Beat That Thrills My Soul, I'm Gonna Get Lost in Your Rock and Roll. And at this time, we were just hanging around trying to find respite from the Sunset Strip madness. Ah, yes, the Whiskey a Go-Go.
With Three Dog Night.
Imagine, within just a couple miles range, you can see the Birds, or Three Dog Night, or Mance Lipscomb, or Lightning Hopkins, or Bill Monroe, or the Doors might have played a high school that afternoon. We all played high schools. And the Association. And Canned Heat. What a mess. Paul Williams was still, I guess about a year away from writing We've Only Just Begun. And that started out as a bank commercial. He drove into town in a stolen car and pulled up to A&M Records lot, which had been the Charlie Chaplin lot. A&M had bought it with their Tijuana brass money, and Paul went in and sold his first song, paid for the car, and started writing more songs. It was at the Hawk Shop that I heard an old song that Spencer did, and it describes what we were all after, what we were trying to be, what it was all about. We just wanted to be old records, I think. And I thought it was ironic how this old song kind of told what everybody in Hollywood was after, at least the people I was running across, the music people, what everybody was trying to get done. It just kind of came down to one thing. We're all trying to make old records.
Get out those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound scratchy? Those tunes really were catchy, especially those that say, I love you so.
I recorded this in 1968 on Sunset Boulevard at this old Hawk Shop, he called it. We hadn't figured things out yet. We were just trying to make some old records. The next night, I went up to a guy's house that I'd been hanging out with. Well, he lived with us for about 4 months. His band had just broken up, and most of them headed back to Florida. And he was working on a new song.
Keep going, just keep it rolling.
Now we can hear him doing it right now. Now this is live from the living room. This is the day he finished writing this song. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, but you'll know this guy's voice. And please forgive the funky recording quality, but it was the best I could do in this guy's apartment back then.
About our bad misfortune, and I ain't here wondering why, but I'll live on, and I'll be strong, 'cause it just ain't my cross to bear.
case you haven't guessed, this is Greg Allman at 19 years old.
I wrote you a letter.
Short while after this recording that Greg decided to leave town. He left Hollywood and he went to Jacksonville, Florida, about 2 weeks later for that first night of the Allman Brothers. And that was the first recording of that song before they even started. That's some of my own music in the background right now. That's called Miner's Night Out. I remember going down I-70 heading to Colorado somewhere in the 80s. I tuned my banjo to that low B note the diesel was putting out. And made up a tune that I thought maybe the miners would have played in the 1800s. Well, I'll be playing in your town pretty darn soon. Bringing my banjo, guitar, mandolin, and fiddle, and music from the Circle B Unbroken albums, and my favorite dirt band songs. Check me out, johnmcewen.com, M-C-E-U-E-N. And thanks for tuning in. This is John McEwen. You can find me right here on syndicatednews.net. John McEwen, American Music.